That's new.
Welcome back to episode 14 of the Strong Body, Stronger Mind podcast. Zoom has apparently upgraded itself. Yeah. So that's exciting technology. Yeah, but I'm Chelsea Stewart.
I am Celeste Barker. This is episode 14 of our podcast. If you are new here, welcome. Chelsea and I are both head coaches for Team NK Athletics, and this is our little corner of the podcast world where we talk about all things strong body and strong mind. So fitness, nutrition, mindset, all of those good things. So welcome.
Welcome. We are actually fresh off of our first Team NK retreat in Miami. We had a really great time. Little side note, if my dogs are really loud, I apologize. They feel the need to go crazy the second I start talking. Guys, I don't know if that worked, but we are fresh off of our first Team NK retreat. We had so much fun. We all went to Miami. We are literally so happy and excited about this trip that we've already started planning a second one. Team NK is just expanding right now. It is crazy. So if you guys want to get in on the action, please hit us up. We are literally bringing any and everybody that we can fit onto our rosters into this family. And we are just so excited to bring a community to the fitness world that I feel like that's a big part that's missing from the fitness world.
Yeah. So that team aspect, that community aspect, everybody talks about how, oh, this journey is so lonely, this journey is so isolating, and just having that team aspect just gets rid of that. And it's so cool how everybody has such different goals. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about in this podcast a little bit is, you know, your specific goals, your timeline with your goals, et cetera. And what's, you know, cool about this team is that we have people from different backgrounds, people who are, you know, searching fat loss, searching muscle gain, searching whatever it is that their fitness goals are, and just having that community of people with different perspectives that are chasing these different goals. It's such an amazing feeling, and it's something that you really can't put into words, and it's something that you kind of just need to experience for yourself. So yeah, that's our a little shameless plug with coaching, but
shameless plug really fast. Episode 2 of this beautiful podcast here that you are already listening to, we talked all about how to handle feeling isolated and feeling alone in your fitness journey. So if you've not listened to that podcast, please go back and listen to it. Because I know, I mean, even just from the conversations I had this weekend, so many people have felt that way. So many people have felt so isolated and lonely just because they're simply trying to become a better version of themselves. And that is so sad. It's truly so sad that just trying to better yourself can leave you feeling lonely and different. So we have an entire podcast on that if you need some motivation and inspiration.
Yeah. So we love our team. We love coaching. Obviously, we talk about it all the freaking time. And kind of transitioning into what we want to talk about in this podcast is kind of just fitness journeys as a whole, timelines with fitness journeys, how to approach, you know, what your goals are, because obviously everybody has different goals. Everybody has different starting positions, and it can be hard to kind of determine where you need to start, and it can just get confusing. So we want to dive into that. And I think a big thing that we see as coaches when people first start out is, you know, we talk about when we're bringing on new clients, obviously we ask them what their goals are, what they're trying to achieve, etc. And a lot of times we get pretty, you know, similar responses in terms of, you know, body recomposition, building lean muscle tissue, losing fat, etc. But everybody has different starting positions. Everybody has different backgrounds. Everybody has different approaches that they're going to need when it comes to reaching their goals. And I think that it can be easy to not truly understand the timelines of that and how long and how much, you know, effort it really does take to get you to, you know, your end physique.
Yeah. So I think that there's a couple different things going on here with like misconceptions, I guess, of what your fitness journey will look like. And, you know, speaking of the questionnaires, right? So when we first onboard clients, we send out a questionnaire. Obviously, we need to get to know a lot about these people before we can write programs for you guys. We need to know, obviously, what your goals are, first and foremost. And more often than not, we get the goal of, I want to build muscle and I want to lose body fat, or I want to get toned. And there is, like I said before, a lot of misconceptions on the internet, and a lot of it is gimmicky marketing, unfortunately, of people throwing around these 30-day challenges or quick fixes, or, you know, get your dream body in 30 days, combined with, hey, look at this body recomposition. Let's do body recomp. And people think that because of this, because, you know, there's people out here promoting these crazy 30-day transformations or this body recomp program that they're selling, that this body recomposition is a magical phenomenon that you can achieve just in one straight shot. But it's very much so disconstrued. Is that a word? Misconstrued. Misconstrued on the internet as it's just this A to B progression. And that's not the way it works. Body recomposition in itself essentially is building muscle and losing body fat. But the issue here is that in order to build muscle, you need to be in a calorie surplus, meaning you need to be eating over your body's maintenance calorie. So you have to gain weight. You have to gain weight to build muscle. You have to put on body fat in the process of building muscle. And then you need to lose body fat. Well, in order to lose body fat, you need to be in a calorie deficit, which means you're eating less than what you need to eat to maintain. So you see the issue here. How can we be in a calorie surplus and be in a calorie deficit at the same time? We can't. Now, can you technically just stay at maintenance, you know, wavering around your maintenance caloric intake for a long period of time, build muscle and lose body fat and achieve body recomposition? Yeah, sure. But it's going to take you a very long time to do that because you are not optimizing muscle gain or fat loss. So this whole body recomposition thing, it's not a 30-day process. It's just not. When you go into your fitness journey, you need to be fully aware of the fact that you're not going to have your dream physique in 3 months or 6 months or a year unless you are already damn near close to reaching the goal.
Yeah. And I think that is what turns a lot of people away from, you know, truly committing to either or goal. Cause you know, there's this fear around, you know, weight gain. There's this fear around staying in a surplus for an extended period of time because we get uncomfortable in our body. We get, you know, uncomfortable with pushing food. We get, you know, bored of the monotony that comes with building muscle because we're not seeing these, you know, drastic changes that come with, that can come when you are, you know, in a deficit. Because obviously when you're cutting, you can, you know, start to see changes a bit more. Your changes are going to be a bit more apparent than when you are in a building phase. And so when people aren't seeing, you know, the results as quickly, you know, us as humans, we want that instant gratification. We live in a very instantaneous world with, you know, our technology and Amazon Prime and everything. We just want it. We want it right now. We want it now. And that sets us up for disappointment because we lose sight of the fact that lasting changes take time. And both Chelsea and I have been through our share of building phases and cutting phases, right? And, you know, our starting physiques are very different than our physiques now. But that's because we spent months in building phases and then going through cutting phases and then more months in building phases and going through cutting phases and going through all of these necessary phases to get us to where we are now. And, you know, we're both still chasing progression and we both know that we still have a lot of potential that is untapped in our physiques. And we know that it's going to, you know, still take time for us to get there.
Yeah. So I liked how you mentioned the fact that we've both been through multiple building phases and multiple cutting phases. So that's another really big misconception that you will just go through one bulk and then diet down and boom, you're done forever. And there's a couple different things going on here. So A, you know, obviously as coaches, and if you have a coach, and even if you're just coaching yourself, you should be paying attention to your biofeedback. You know, a bulk is not just pound as much food as you possibly can, eat a shit ton of food for 6 months, and then boom, you're done. You've built all the muscle, cool. And then you diet down and you're good to go. Odds are you're going to hit a point where you're either A, eating so much food that you physically can't get more food and it's making you sick. Maybe biofeedback is starting to look bad. I know as a coach, I've run into, you know, my biggest red flags for it's time to pull food down is digestive concerns, sleep concerns. Sometimes there are just life events that pop up and you're like, yeah, I've had clients who were in bulks and they were in a wedding that they bought the dress for 6 months ago. We had to do a bit of a mini cut to make sure that dress fits still, you know? Mm-hmm. So there's different reasons to pull things down, but odds are, first of all, 6 months is not any amount of time to build muscle tissue. Even if you're enhanced, it's still not enough time, but it's not going to take one season of anything for you to reach your goal. And even if you start out in a building phase, which that is going to be a more, I think, ideal place to be able to make more progress in terms of that body recomposition from the start. If you start in a dieting phase, you may reach a point where, you know, your health is at risk if you continue dieting and you have to stop, even if you haven't necessarily reached the goal weight or the goal physique. And now we need to go into a building phase so that we can cut again and go into a dieting phase. And after two, you may have reached that initial goal. You may have not. I can almost guarantee you one of the wonderful blessings/curses of the fitness journey is before you've even gotten close to reaching that goal, you've set 45 goals surpassing that already. So you're never going to be satisfied. And that's why it's so important to A, realize this is like a life, it doesn't have to be lifelong, I guess, but it should be, I think, but it's a long-term process. And B, you got to fall in love with the process. Cause if you don't fall in love with the process, you're going to be very disappointed in it.
Yeah. Cause like you said, odds are it's going to take longer than you think it will, whether that is building muscle, whether that is fat loss, whether that, whatever your goal is, it's going to take longer than you think it is going to be because, you know, our bodies aren't these machines that, you know, it's not just like a plug and chug equation where it's like, oh, we put this in, it's going to take this amount of time and then we're going to get here, right? That's just not how it works. Our bodies are very dynamic. Our bodies are adaptive. We have life events that happen. And sometimes we need to, you know, shift courses depending on, you know, how our body responds or how life happens. And like you said, falling in love with the process is how we stay invested in that journey and how we, you know, don't get disappointed if we do have to change courses, because I know it can be so easy to just, you know, be hyper-focused on this one goal, but sometimes life happens and we got to shift, we got to adapt. And if we are so hyper-focused on, I need to be here at X amount of time, then we're ultimately going to be disappointed if we do have to, you know, shift the goal a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's important to remember too. I mean, how many times have you gotten people asking you like, hey, and not even just clients, even like we both, you know, are very active on Instagram. We both do question boxes all the time. We try to provide as much like free content to people as we can. I get a lot of questions just in my question box, like, hey, how long should a dieting phase be? Hey, how long will it take me to lose 15 pounds? And it's like, well, you know, in an ideal world, I could give you an answer, but our bodies are very, very smart, you know, and we actually talked about this in our reverse dieting podcast. I think it was like episode 3. Mm-hmm. But a big reason sometimes why you have to end a dieting phase, maybe even earlier than you want to, is because our bodies are very adaptive and they're very smart, and their primary goal is not to build muscle, maintain muscle, lose body fat. Like, they just truly don't care that much about it, to be frank. Our body's primary focus is keeping us alive and keeping us functioning as well as they can. And so when we diet, our bodies become very efficient on whatever amount of food you give them. So, you know, you could be dieting, and you may be someone who has a very adaptive metabolism. I mean, Celeste has a very adaptive metabolism, and it makes dieting very difficult for her, where her body is really, really, really smart, and it's great in terms of keeping her alive. You know, we're not going to lose Celeste. That's fantastic for us. But when it comes to dieting, you know, she'll eat X amount of calories, and very quickly her body will recognize, hey, I am getting this many calories. Now I'm going to learn how to survive off of this. And now, boom, what happens? You're no longer in a deficit because your body has adapted that quickly, and you have to go lower and lower. And if you start running into health issues, like your thyroid is dysfunctioning, your hormones are dysregulated, even mental health things, you're constantly thinking about food, your quality of life is going down the drain. You may need to take a break from dieting. You may need to repair that metabolism so you can go back into that dieting phase. And it may take multiple times in multiple seasons to reach whatever even that first goal was. And again, you probably will set more goals before that even occurs.
Yeah. So like Chelsea said, just like a personal example, as you guys know, I am in prep and I have, oh my God, my throat just like cracked. I've been in prep since January, mid-January, something like that. It's been like 20 something weeks, but you know, at the beginning of the dieting phase, I was, you know, making pretty steady progress, for, you know, a prep. And obviously prep dieting is going to be very different than lifestyle dieting in terms of the, you know, measures that are required, the calories, cardio. I won't go into my very like specific protocols, but the past like month or so, you know, food was low, cardio was fairly high, and my body was just like, nope, no, it's not responding. Biofeedback was not great. My hunger cues were shot. My digestion was shot. My sleep was shot. Weight wasn't moving. And, you know, initially we did have, you know, a show in mind, and we had a timeline that we wanted to stick to. We, as in my coach and I, Nick, obviously you guys know who Nick is, Nick the trainer. But we had a show.
I call him Nick the trainer anymore.
We had a show in mind and we were gunning for that show, and that's why we were pushing pretty hard. But sometimes, you know, the mind wants it, but the body is just like, no, I don't like this. This is not what we want. And, you know, we both came to the realization that I was not going to be ready for that show. And was I, you know, a little bit disappointed? Yeah, because it was a show that, you know, a lot of our teammates are doing. It was going to be, you know, this big event. I put a lot of time and effort and like pushed super hard for it. But sometimes time is just not in our favor. And, you know, it was either, you know, continue to push really hard and look like shit, honestly, on stage, and, you know, have all of those weeks of work be for, you know, almost nothing if I wasn't, you know, looking my best, or, you know, pull back a little bit, you know, set our sights on a later show and actually have my body be responsive. And so we took the later route. So, you know, right now I'm in a diet break where we brought my food up to my relative maintenance. We brought cardio down. We're giving my body a little bit of a break. And, you know, after this diet break, we're going to reassess where we are at and then, you know, start shooting for that later show. And that's kind of, like I said, was disappointing at first, but at the end of the day, it's going to be in my best interest, right? Obviously, when you compete, you want to step on stage and be your best. And sometimes that means taking the longer route. And after this, I'll be in prep for like 30 weeks, which is crazy. But that's the benefits of things like diet breaks, because it allows you to extend your prep or your dieting phase, because it gives your body that little bit of a reprieve from the negative effects that come with dieting.
Yeah. So diet breaks, actually, let us know if you guys would like to hear an entire podcast on diet breaks, refeeds, free meals, cheat meals, things like that. I think there's a big misconception between all of those. We would love to cover that. So let us know. But there's a bug flying around me. You know, Celeste is even speaking from like a very aggressive dieting, you know, mindset. And that is obviously, prep is a very extreme version of dieting. But even in prep, where, you know, we go into prep almost recognizing from the get-go that it's not going to necessarily be the healthiest thing from the beginning. And even then, even in an aggressive state of dieting where you kind of go in knowing like, hey, this is probably going to get unhealthy at some point. You know, we know there are negative health implications to prepping. You still have to take precautions like that. You still sometimes have to pull back. You still sometimes have to prolong the end goal. So then, you know, you switch your mindset over to, okay, you're dieting for your life. Realistically, yeah, okay, we diet and we try to lose body fat to look and feel our best, but we also do it to be the healthiest versions of ourselves. So running your body into the ground and, you know, messing with your long-term health just in the name of losing a couple extra pounds faster, it realistically doesn't make any sense, because A, you're going to have now health implications that are probably going to make it difficult for you to keep that weight off. I mean, you mess up your testosterone levels, your estrogen levels, your progesterone, your thyroid hormones. You mess any of those up, and I can tell you right now, you're going to be fighting an uphill battle with your body to maintain any weight loss that you made long term. And B, like, mental health matters too. And like I said before, it's not worth it to diet yourself so aggressively that you now are missing out on social events because you're either A, too busy doing way too much cardio for somebody to do whose life is not fitness and career is not bodybuilding, or B, because you're literally terrified to go to social events because you have no self-control around food and you would rather isolate yourself. You know, something that I really try to hone into my clients is, you work really, really hard to feel your absolute most confident and healthy in your body. You need to be able to enjoy life in that body. And if you are run down into the ground, doing hours of cardio, miserable, feel like shit, are so tired, have no personality, no energy left, and you have a huge fear of food, that's not worth it. When you could just take the longer approach, still end up in that physique that you want long term, but just recognize that rather than it happening in 12 weeks or in 6 months, it might take you a year to get there. Shoot, that's worth it. Because now in a year, you reach that goal body. And guess what? You get to have that goal body forever versus you kill yourself for 6 months to reach that goal body. You're going to have that goal body for maybe a month before you start dealing with the health implications or start binge eating or go down some really, really negative path.
Yeah. We kind of talked about, I think it was in our balance podcast, whatever it was called.
Look at us, all of the podcasts. We cover everything.
But just how there's seasons to, you know, this fitness journey, and, you know, we can't just stay in this one season forever. For, like Chelsea mentioned, mental health, physical health, you know, just quality of life. That's why we have these different seasons, so that we can prolong our longevity in this journey. And at the end of the day, you know, I would rather have, you know, my clients and myself, honestly, you know, be on this journey for longer and have and get to that end goal eventually than to, you know, make myself miserable and not even get to the physique that I want by, you know, dieting myself into the ground, by staying in this one unhealthy season for longer than is necessary. Whereas if we take the time to, you know, go through, you know, a cutting phase and then reverse back up, building phase, cutting phase, reverse back up, building phase, we prolong our ability to get to where we want to be. We prolong our ability to have, you know, more optimal biofeedback. We prolong our ability to build muscle. We prolong our ability to actually lose body fat. We prolong our ability to have the quality of life that we want to have. But, you know, it does take accepting the fact that, again, we have to go through these seasons, and we have to accept the fact that some seasons are going to be longer than others. And that season is probably going to be not a dieting phase. And accepting that, and accepting the fact that when it comes to your fitness journey, it's going to be a process, and it's going to be something that if you don't love the process, if you don't learn to love the process, it's going to be a lot harder for you. And it's going to be something that you are more likely to quit on prematurely.
Yeah. I like to, I always like to use like myself or us as examples here, because, you know, we really do practice what we preach. And I think that that's really important as coaches, that we don't just tell people to do something, but we won't do it ourselves, you know? Mm-hmm. But when I first started working with Nick, when I first hired Nick, I actually weighed the exact same as I weigh right now. I was pretty happy with my body. I mean, I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. Obviously I hired a coach because I knew I could be doing better, but I didn't hate my physique at all. But I will say, maintaining those again, same way that I am now, I had to eat like sub 1400 calories a day. So anytime I went past that, I honestly would gain weight because my metabolism was so, so underregulated. It was just, it wasn't good. And so I went to Nick and I was like, yeah, well, like, I can't live like this. I'm freaking hungry. I mean, who wants to eat 1400 calories a day forever? Nobody. So first thing we did, obviously I knew we were going to bulk. That was what I told him I wanted to do. So I went through a building phase, almost a year long building phase. And yeah, I got uncomfortable. I gained about 20 pounds in this building phase, heaviest I've ever been in my life. I didn't hate my body. Again, I never thought I was like this like whale or anything like that, but it was definitely not. I mean, I'm 5'3", very small structured. 20 pounds on me is a lot of pounds. Okay. But after going through that phase and then dieting back down, I then got back to that exact same weight with a lot more muscle tissue on me, a lot less body fat on me, but I was maintaining that same weight well over 2000 calories. I think I was maintaining it like 2300 calories. And obviously since then I prepped and now I'm reversing back up again, but it just goes to show you the benefits aren't even just in the physical, what my physique looked like, because obviously I looked a lot better after going through a building phase and putting muscle onto my body, but in the fact that now I could maintain a physique that I felt even more confident at, eating nearly 1,000 more calories a day, which, I mean, quality of life purposes, I wasn't hungry all the time. I wasn't food focused all the time. I could very easily go out with my friends and fit anything I wanted into my nutrition without fear of weight gain. So there's so many benefits to going through that uncomfortable phase that aren't just, you know, the obvious, like, obviously I hope you guys, like, if you're on your fitness journey, you want to change your physique and you don't want to just like be spinning your wheels looking the same year after year after year. So building phases and encourage that as well. But like my quality of life improved so much because I didn't have to starve myself and miss out on life to try to stay at a weight I thought I was supposed to be at.
Yeah. And it's crazy that, you know, I have kind of similar, but in terms of like, you know, the weight I'm at right now, it's the same weight that I am when I started with Nick. And, you know, we kind of started in the opposite direction, because when I came to him, I was coming off of my volleyball season and I was, you know, eating like a college student, like a college athlete. So I was already eating a decent amount. And so we started in a cutting phase, because, you know, I was already eating a good amount of calories. I was already I was in a good place to start a diet. And, you know, that's kind of like we talked about before, how your starting position is going to depend on your history, your dieting history, your training history, et cetera. So, you know, I was in a good place for us to start a cutting phase so that we can be in a a more optimal place to start a building phase, because like I said, I was already eating a decent amount of food. So for me to continue to build muscle, I would have to eat more food than I was already eating. And so
food, yeah, that
would have been a shit ton of food. So we went through a cutting phase, and then it wasn't even that long. It was like 10 weeks, maybe. I don't remember how much I lost. I think it was like 10 pounds. So,
yeah.
Something like that. But after that, I spent like a year in my building phase to get ready for our first prep. And I think I also gained like 20 pounds, but I was eating a lot of food. I was eating like over 3,000 calories. I was, you know, uncomfortable in my body, but you know, that building phase set me up, you know, physically to start a prep and mentally to start a prep, because, you know, we were talking about quality of life. I was able to go out to eat. I was able to have, you know, vacations where I didn't track. I was able to, you know, have a good relationship with food and a good relationship with my body. And so, you know, when you go through a prep, it's a very,
guys,
even in a lifestyle cut, you know, some things do have to be sacrificed. So making sure that you are in a good starting position to do so. But then, you know, I went through my prep, and then from there, I reverse dieted and went into another building phase that was like a year and a half through COVID. And in that building phase, I gained, I think, like 30 pounds, something like that. I ended my prep very, very lean. I'd lost like 20 some pounds during that prep. But during that second building phase and up until my start of this prep, when I started this prep, I was, I think, like 15 pounds heavier than when I started my last prep, which is what you want if you are trying to improve your body composition on stage. You want to, depending on, you know, who you are and things like that, but I wanted to have a higher starting position in terms of my weight, because that means that I put on quality muscle tissue to improve my physique on stage. And so now, you know, depending on how, you know, the next couple of weeks go, my stage weight is going to be like 10, 15 pounds heavier than my last stage weight, which is the goal. And that is kind of just, like we talked about, a good indicator of why we go through all of these seasons, because it's how we improve our physique. It's how we improve, if you're a competitor, it's how you improve your, you know, placings on stage. If you are a lifestyle client, it's how you improve your overall body composition, your quality of life, etc. And so I think it's just kind of cool how we both have gone through all of these phases. Even if we, you know, started in different positions, we both have been through it. We both understand the difficulties that come with building. We both understand the difficulties that come with, you know, cutting for, you know, show purposes and non-show purposes. And so we get it. We understand that committing to the process, committing to this journey is hard. And I think we can both agree that having a coach made it so much easier, because we had somebody to hold us accountable if we, you know, got uncomfortable, if we wanted to be like, you know, maybe we can like, you know, not do this, maybe we can like cut a little bit short if we were like coaching ourselves. But having somebody to be like, hey, this is what we're doing, this is what we got to do, and just taking that, having that third party objective opinion, makes going through this journey so, not easier, but just easier.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I feel like you just made a lot of really good points, a little segue topics, but the first one, super brief topic, is we do get that question a lot. I actually just, before I even started this podcast, was talking to a new client, and she was asking me, you know, should we build first or should we cut first? And I hadn't even gotten to, you know, looking at, you know, where her current food intake was, you know? And so it's not always that easy. You can't just look at a physique and say, oh, yep, you should diet first, you know, or, oh, yep, you should build first. You know, a lot of it comes down to, like, you know, if you guys don't follow Sarah Ford, Sarah Bishop, she says this a lot, but you have to earn the right to diet. And if you've been chronically dieting your whole life, your metabolism's probably just not in the greatest place to diet. And so sometimes, yeah, you may have some body fat that you want to lose. You may have a decent amount of body fat that you want to lose, but you may also be running on a downregulated metabolism from years and years and years of dieting that we need to repair first in order to have a successful dieting phase. You know, vice versa. I think there's this misconception on the internet, on Instagram, that like no one's allowed to diet without reverse dieting first. And to be perfectly honest, there are a lot of people on the internet and on Instagram, and a lot of females specifically, who have been under eating chronically their whole lives. But I mean, if we look at America as a whole, I don't think any of us can deny the fact that Americans in general are overeating, right? So general population are not people chronically under eating, just because this little niche world that we live in on social media is full of disordered eating habits and chronic dieting doesn't mean everybody's a chronic dieter. I've worked with a lot of people who have come to me and they have been overeating and they do benefit from dieting first. And that's fine. If you're in a healthy place to diet down first, we can diet you down first. Everyone is just so individual, and it comes down to what your physique needs the most right now, what your health needs the most right now, and where your, what your diet history looks like, what you've been doing for the past months or years even. But that also kind of leads me into the other little segue topic from your discussion, Celeste, was, the benefit of having a coach. I know for me, going through a building phase, personally gaining weight, I mean, I have a history of an eating disorder. You know, this is not a secret. I'm very open about it. So going through purposeful seasons of gaining weight is very challenging for me mentally. And while I can do it, I feel that I am a pretty strong mentally strong human being at this point, it still comes with its challenges, very extreme challenges. And it comes with a lot of kickback and fight back from my brain. My rational brain knows that I need to gain the weight, but you know, it's human nature to not want to see yourself put on body fat purposefully, right? I don't think anybody necessarily enjoys that. So having a coach really, for me, empowers me to almost, this sounds kind of bad, but almost like put the blame on them. Like if I'm gaining weight, it's not just because I'm letting myself go, which is what my disordered brain wants to tell me. My rational brain can be like, no, my coach has my best interest at heart. My coach wants me to put on this body fat. So when I'm putting on the body fat, I'm not messing up. I'm not doing something wrong. When the scale goes up, I didn't screw up. I didn't let myself go. That's what my coach wants. And then having a coach to cheer you on and say, yeah, the scale going up, that's what we want. Like, I can't tell you how many times Nick would even be like, Chelsea, the scale went up. That's what we want. You're a small little fry. We need some muscle on you. Like, hell yeah, the scale's finally moving in the right direction. When for so long, we've conditioned ourselves that the only right direction is down. Sometimes we need that person to be like, no, the right direction is up, and I'm going to cheer you on, and I'm really freaking proud of you for doing so. And Nick is that for me. And I love getting to be that person for others, you know? Yeah. And I tell them that too. I'm like, if you get fat, girl, blame me. It's my fault. It's not your fault. You didn't do anything wrong. Blame me. Put it on me. It takes so much pressure off of ourselves to be this perfect person that I know I personally struggle with a lot. And I'm sure so many of you guys struggle with.
Yeah. So I think that we touched upon a lot of, you know, really good points in this podcast, but I think just to kind of sum it up is that there's no one size fits all when it comes to this journey. There's no, you know, perfect starting position. And we kind of talked about this before we recorded how a fitness journey is kind of like a those books where it's like a pick your own adventure type of thing, where it's like you start here and then it's like yes or no, if there's this applies to you then you go here, yes or no, if this applies to you then you go here. So you know, we can get caught up in comparing our journeys to somebody else's, get caught up in comparing, you know, oh, I'm doing this, but she's doing this, and she's here, but I'm here. And it can make us feel bad for doing what we're doing. But at the end of the day, we have to do what's going to be best for our goals. We have to do what's going to be best for our body. We got to do what's best for, you got to do what's best for you. And that is going to be very, very dependent in terms of protocols, in terms of the lengths of those protocols, in terms of just everything. It's all so, so individualized, and it's going to, pretty much for everybody, it's going to take longer than you think it will be. It's going to take time, but you know, the cliche saying is that anything, how does it go? What is the saying? Nothing worth having comes, that's not the one.
Yeah. Yeah, nothing worth having comes easy. And it's so true. If it was this easy, you know, A to B progression, we'd all just have our dream body. You know what I mean? That's what I always tell people. Like if it was as easy as y'all want it to be, no, everybody would be perfect. Everybody would have their dream body. There would be no reason for this to be a struggle. Like there wouldn't be personal trainers or coaches, or no one would struggle with things if it was that easy. If all it took was me being on point with my nutrition for 3 months, hell yeah, I'd have my dream body in 3 months. Let's go. It doesn't work that way. It's an A to Z with all the letter stops
in alphabet.
And that's just the way it is. So learn to love the journey, learn to find successes in every season, learn to find excitement in every season. You know, there are benefits to everything. It's not always just becoming smaller and smaller that's exciting. You know, having more food freedom, having more flexibility, getting stronger. There's so
longer.
Many-
oh, I'm so excited to get strong in the off season.
Yeah, right. Like there's benefits to every season. There's also downfalls to every season. Dieting is not all just like rainbows and butterflies. Getting weaker, feeling tired, feeling like you said, having to, you know, make sacrifices, drink less often, give up alcohol, give up partying as frequently, you know, everything in moderation, sure, but you can be a lot more flexible in a building season than you can in a dieting season. So it's not all rainbows and butterflies one way or another. And that's why it's important to focus on the positives of every season, but recognize that it's a journey and it can be a really fun journey if you let it be, if you stop focusing on wanting everything right this moment.
Yeah. So I think that is going to wrap it up for episode 14. So thank you guys for listening. And as always, if you ever have any questions, like we talked before, we are both very active on social media. So go ahead, give us a follow, shoot us a DM, follow our team Instagram. We put a lot of information on there as well about fitness, nutrition, etc. And if you are interested in coaching, you know, we will put both of our coaching applications in the show notes. And, you know, if you want to learn more about how we can help you, hit us up because we'd be more than happy to bring you into our family.
Yes, this team is growing and we could not be more excited about it. So thank you guys for tuning in. Let us know, as always, if you have any topics you want us to cover. Please like and rate. Give us a 5-star rating and review on the podcast, Apple Podcasts, whatever that thing is called. Share us in your stories. Please help us get the word out about our podcast because we put a lot of effort into it. And so it would mean so much. We love you and we'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.